These guys always want my money. Little slithery snakes, demons. Hey, so you ever thought about starting a franchise?
Yeah.
Like Chick-fil-A or something like that? I just kind of had a passing idea of one today, and I'm looking for angel investors / business partners. Simply put, the business is whatever we franchise. Eventually, it would be kind of like a Morgan Stanley meets Willy Wonka kind of thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about. This is going to be really hard to pitch to investors if you can't tell them what your business idea is. You need to work on your elevator pitch. All right, let's start from the top. I just hit the elevator button. Ding, elevator popped up. I'm headed down. I have 90 million bucks in my back pocket. Oh, okay. You're threatening me.
See how quick the elevator pitch is? Bam. Just me and you in the elevator. Shouldn't have gotten in with me. I was a little shifty little guy. You could see by my eyes. And I was packing. And then bam, you're kind of a risk taker. You're an adrenaline junkie. That's what I like about you. And that's non-negotiable. But you got in the wrong elevator on the wrong building, my friend. Okay.
Okay. You're,
so, and you just told me you have $90 million, so I'm not leaving here without a penny less than $90
million. You're right. That was a mistake by my part to have $90 million in my back pocket. Okay. So you're going to win in that situation. You get the money, get out of there. Let's say, hypothetically, you need to pitch a business because you're trying to start a franchise. Okay. Mm-hmm. I walk in and I have $90 million, but it's in my bank account. It's locked away. It's safe behind doors. Okay. It's not in my pocket. I just have it, and I'm looking for something to invest in. I'm looking to expand my portfolio, diversify a little bit, if you will. What are you telling me?
Okay, what I'm telling you here. Hey, buddy, you look like you got about 80, 90 million in the bank account right now that you're just waiting to blow. Now, I am kind of savvy little entrepreneur, if you will. I'm a young buck. Yeah, ding. But
a lady and her dog get on, and the dog's jumping at you uncontrollably.
Hey, buddy, good to see you. Okay, just pop it down. Here's a treat for you. Man, you look beautiful today. Anyway, sir, let me get back to business. I really do like your outfit, and I like your personality. And you are going to love the money I generate you. I can tell you're
an entire bachelorette party walks in. There's 12 girls crowding the elevator. We get pushed to opposite ends.
Good to see y'all. Congratulations. Anyway, sir, what I was saying is, I want to start a franchise, and this is just the beginning. This is a brick in an entire skyscraper is this first franchise. You're getting on the ground level. You're going to 2, 3, 4, 5,000 times your investment by the time you're 40. That's my pitch. What do you say?
We're at the ground level. Nailed it.
Here's a pen.
I still don't know what the business is. My Uber's outside. I got to go.
The business is... What? I just started a franchise.
No.
Did I at least get the email or the?
I've already gone. You missed that chance. Maybe you could talk to the bachelorette party, Bella. Maybe they're interested.
Yeah, they're probably.
No. So, are you actually thinking about a franchise, or is this just a fleeting thought?
It's a thought today that I had, and I think it'd be pretty cool.
What kind of franchise would you target? Like a Chick-fil-A or I don't even know. Do they franchise? I guess they would have to.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A or something like that.
So my parents, when they were looking at restaurants, they looked at franchising into like franchise at McDonald's. It was like over $1 million for the restaurant. And then they, you know, you have to pay like franchise fees and you give McDonald's like a huge cut of what you make. But you get the McDonald's name and you get the suppliers and everything. And you have to do everything their way. Like, you don't have a lot of freedom, but obviously you have the name and you have the product that everybody's already familiar with.
So I heard it. One guy I talked to at the gym, he didn't say it was 25. He said it was like $25,000 to start the franchise. He said that was the initial fee.
For who?
Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
And then they build a brick and mortar and everything.
So they're probably, if they're building brick and mortar, I imagine they're taking a hefty percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're bleeding you dry.
But you're just getting in ground level $25,000, okay?
Yeah.
Sure. But and I imagine you make that in what? A week?
So then you just become, well, I don't know about that, because you just become a fast food worker that works 120 hours a week and just cross your fingers that your location is successful.
Right. Well, it's Chick-fil-A, it's bound to be successful. So you don't even have to cross your fingers. You just, you know, serve up a hot chicken sandwich and then Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, although they do have some sort of magic going on back there, because Chick-fil-A is the fastest fast food known to man. I mean, they got like 50 people working in there, and they always have a huge line, and it always goes super fast. So I don't know if you have what it takes to manage a Chick-fil-A, if I can be frank with you.
I'd rather you not.
Okay. I think you're going to have to hire someone, pay them $275K a year just to manage the joint.
No, no, no. That's me.
And I'm that's going to put you at break even, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why we skipped the managing. I'm going to be the manager of the operations, and I figured you'd be the cashier slash cook.
So you're trying to eliminate on labor costs. I see. You want me to be a cashier slash cook?
You could.
Do I need to take the orders too?
Well, that's what the cashier does, yeah.
Okay. Well, so sometimes there's guys who put you through rigorous
training. So, yeah. You're the cashier slash cook. You take the payment, you take the orders, and then you cook it. And I would be basically managing the staff, which is right now just composed of you. So it's an easy, pretty easy, simple job for me. Okay. But it sounds like you're not really trained and not really well-educated as far as fast food goes. So it's going to be actually more work than I thought, which is why we're paying me $550,000 the first year.
You're saying we – I don't know where this money is coming from. If I'm just a fast food worker and you're trying to drop minimum wage, I might not even be interested. But let's say I am. I think you might be creating a bottleneck here with just having one staff member. Even if I'm at maximum output employee of the year –
Well, you're going to be. You're the only employee.
Sure. Yeah.
So congratulations to that.
Thank you. I don't think my output would be nearly enough to support a brick-and-mortar location.
Well, that is not what I wanted to hear from my employee of the year.
Yeah.
I can be frank with you.
Well, at least he's giving it to you straight. Hey, what is this? This is a podcast where we go online. We find a question that I'm going to answer and give him an answer. It's called I Wasn't Asking You. You don't know that. You've listened to it before. We don't have any new listeners, okay? Let's be honest about this. Okay, let's face the situation head on. You've been listening to this podcast for 2 years straight, okay? And we appreciate it, and that's why we do it every week, because of you, and you know who you are. My name's Preston. I almost said Connor. That was close. That would have really confused the people that have heard this zero times.
Wouldn't that be nice, huh?
Yeah. Well, would it be nice?
What are you trying to say?
I'm just trying to weigh the pros and cons of, you know.
What do you mean cons?
Freaky Friday style, smacking into you on the street and switching bodies and becoming you.
Yeah. Wow, you hit the jackpot, huh?
Well, I mean, the cons are I'm kind of stuck in a rut physically and mentally. Okay. Sure, I can run. I can run around the block a couple times and, you know, put it on camera. But at the end of the day, I'm unfulfilled. So.
But what are the pros?
I already mentioned the pro. You can run around the block a couple times.
Oh, wow, that was the only pro.
Got a new car. I guess you're in debt too then. That's not necessarily a pro.
Because you look at it, debt could be a good thing, right? Maybe it's a motivator. Maybe it's putting a little fire under your behind and you get the promotion at the job because of the sharks that are swimming around you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you would be hitting the jackpot in this situation.
Because then when we eventually – oh, because wait, is it because I'm going into Freaky Friday style, I wake up and I'm Prestonian?
Yeah.
So the pros would be I have a bigger Pokemon collection than I had before. And
it's a good start. Assets, right? Assets over liabilities.
It's growing. And another pro would be I don't have a car loan. But the con would be my physical body, the limitations of that.
Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean?
You want me to expand on it? Yeah, I can expand on it. Just with the quality of my ankles and knees and shoulders, sure. It just seems like I should be in my prime, but right now my body's falling apart. It's like if you buy a car and like you hit the 20,000 mile mark and you're thinking, okay, we still have a while to go, but then all of a sudden the transmission blows and you think, oh no. You know? I got a lemon.
Darn. So, but kind of like David Goggins, right? He was born with a hole in his heart, and yet he went on to do great things.
So maybe that would motivate you. Yeah, even though he had a lemon for a body.
Yeah.
So maybe – okay, so maybe that's a pro, actually, having a lemon for
– Yeah. So no cons then? That's pretty good. I'll take it. You know, I thought there might be one or two in there. Like, I don't like ice cream that much, or, you know, I maybe enjoy a long walk on the beach too often. Something like that.
You'll never walk on the beach.
Not my current location, but if I had access, perhaps I would indulge. Anyways, that's not what this show's about, okay? What are we doing here?
What we're doing here, should we launch the intro after this part?
Tony Stark built this in a cave with scrap.
What's up, ladies? I can't believe they let us have phones in prison.
Yeah, I already explained what the show is. Are we ready with questions? Do you have any questions?
No, we kind of... So we were going to get questions, and then I started talking about my business ideas, and then okay. You kind of... we did the whole elevator pitch spiel, and I fun. Made the sale, and then killed it, metaphorically speaking, and I got $9 million from that first guy. Robbed him blind, literally. Second guy, I was in the midst of him, but he slipped away because of that bachelorette party, got in the elevator, and this sure. was causing a hookus. So...
too bad that's going to all be cut out. Are you recording it?
Yeah, I'm recording. I've been recording since day one, baby.
Okay, that's going to be a lot of dead air if you've been doing that. Right, let me get a question or two, and we will be BRB.
While we're filling this, you know, dead air, so are you in on the franchise business? You can work remotely.
I can work remotely as a cashier and a cook for Chick-fil-A.
Well, can you?
Sounds like I won't have to do much, so, I mean, if you're filling my pocketbook, I'm in.
I just think we need to start something, okay? We need to get some kind of business started, and I figure let's just franchise an existing business. Let's just do Chick-fil-A, baby. Okay, we started. We're going to put in a lot of hours the first couple of months, and then we get some good employees. We start taking our pedal off the gas. Well, no, we're going to keep the pedal on the gas, but we're going to be doing different roles, and then we launch another Chick-fil-A. Then we launch another one, and we have like three or four. And then we can do that. We can maybe write a book on franchising. We could launch webinars. We could do all this advertising.
You're just saying – you're saying a lot of buzzwords of like pieces of work that could be done, but you're saying it in such a succession that it wouldn't really be possible for any individual to do this, especially without any resources. And I know you're bleeding in the hole right now. You're looking for side hustles, right? You're trying to get a side hustle. You want some passive income going on.
Please.
Buzzword.
I'm not looking for passive. I'm looking for straight active income. Okay. I want to put my nose to the grindstone, put in 80, 90, 150 hour weeks, baby. Just cold, hard sweat all the time.
Well, fast food's the way to do that. Then if you want to any restaurant,
let's go,
really.
Baby. Sign me up. So it sounds like you're in too.
Well,
you
I
like
know
a good cold hard sweat, right? You like working it up, just putting in the work, and then getting that nice measly minimum wage paycheck. Sure, for the first year and a half, 2 years, you're gonna be treading water. But then after that,
yeah. As someone who grew up working in a restaurant, I'm not going back. So I'm gonna have to. Not join you on this. On this venture, I'm going to let you go solo dolo. Also, I didn't have any money to start with. I know we did the bit about, you know, $9 million being invested. That was a bit. I don't have any money. I don't have any funds for you.
Look, you don't need money, okay? You don't need money, and you don't even need talent. I provide the money and the talent. I work at a bank. Ding, money. And look at me. Ding, talent. All I need is your dedication. And if I know you, I know you're dedicated. And I know you're dedicated to... making money, and that's where I come in. Are you in or are you out?
I think I'm still out. Yeah, I don't really want anything to do with fast food. So,
do you want to make money and retire by the age of 35? Or do you want to work till you're 85 and you already have 1 foot in the 6 foot hole?
I'd rather work till I'm 35.
Let's go. Okay, then I'll send you the paperwork, you sign it, and we'll work for 8-9 years. We won't be able to have any relationships, okay? We won't be able to...
Emily's not going
to
like that.
I'll be able to maintain relationships, but it'll be hard for you, okay? You're going to be the mule here in this situation. I'm going to be the man.
I don't think I want to be a whipping mule
to do all the work, heavy lifting, while I just reap in the benefits. But then I'm going to share the benefits with the mule. Does that make sense? 8 years, 10 years down the road.
Yeah, this sounds like a
retire, and I'll put you in some nice green field, nice pasture land. You'd be able to find maybe a nice what is a mule? Hare? What's a female mule?
A hare is a rabbit.
Okay.
A mare, maybe? I think that's a horse mixed with a donkey. No, a mare is a male horse, I believe.
No, you don't want a mare then. That's competition on on your territory.
And he's just bigger and, well, not as strong, so that's good. But
Because you've been doing heavy lifting for 8 or 10 years thanks to me.
Well, if I'm a mule, yeah. I just think this is a carrot on the stick situation. You're going to say, you know, you're going to get that raise in 2 years. Just keep working hard. Keep putting in 80-hour, 100-hour weeks. And 2 years comes around. Now is really not a good time. I mean, you know where the business is. You know it's not a good time. We need to be putting this money back in the business. It's just going to be kind of pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. See how far I can take it. And then I'll just, you know, work until I'm 80 with 1 foot in the grave, like you had said.
Well, I haven't even talked about benefits yet. And in retirement, I'll match 3% straight up to your 401k.
Moving on. First question here. Is it morally okay to evade taxes? Aren't taxes a form of extortion in violation of human rights, the right to property? So if someone rich or poor evades taxes, isn't he just defending himself from government oppression?
I don't think so. I think paying taxes, what is paying taxes? Huh. I definitely don't agree with that guy, but I think paying taxes.
It seems like you're about to be swayed. Huh. No, I think about it. Actually, the government's robbing us blind.
No, I think you have an obligation to pay taxes as the government is providing a lot of stuff for you. And so you have an obligation to pay taxes and to, you know, nothing's free in the country you live in. So like the roads, you know, schools, all this other public stuff, firefighters, cops, you know, you're paying for that stuff when you're paying for taxes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of argument to be had about the nuance of where tax goes, how much tax is, things like that. But the overall arching theme of tax is a good concept. We all contribute for things that we all use, like, you know, like you said, roads and schools. Otherwise, it's hard to have a society without that, because there would be no benefit to someone building a road if they're not getting paid to do so, or providing education for free if they're not getting paid to do so. So there's definitely a lot of benefits to it. And I'm sorry, you know, you got your first paycheck and they took 20% out. Bummer.
Ouchie.
I don't like it either, but I do enjoy being able to drive places, and that I got a free education for 12 years. That was nice.
Good for you. So you didn't go to a private school?
No, I was not a fan of the private school. Honestly, I think kids that go to private schools are just – don't even get me started, right, on the whole private thing.
Yeah, well, I went to a private school, so I was just wondering your opinion on it and – it sounds like you think highly of private school.
I'd forgotten that you did that.
Alums, yeah.
No, that's cool, well, man. That's cool. Yeah, so how was your experience? Did you think you're better than me now?
Can I be brutally frank with you?
Preferably, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought we were, you know, about on the same level. Maybe I had a couple of strides ahead of you. In elementary school when we were both, you know,
do you think you toddlers. Had a few strides ahead of me in the second grade?
Yeah.
You were marking our educational limits?
I think so. Just because of natural talents that I acquired just via birth. And then also inherited, gained wisdom that I earned via the relationships that I had and the books that I read.
You had relationships in the second grade?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So you thought you were already a few strides ahead, and then after that you went to private school, and then what happened from there?
And then I was at mile 16.8 and you were still running that 5K halfway through mile 1.5.
Okay.
Aid station. You were on a stretcher.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. So I guess private school just kind of gives you a warped perception of your value to society. So that's interesting. Personally, I would.
In a good way.
Yeah. Would you, now that you've gone through private school, Would you put your kids through the same thing?
Probably not. Probably not. It depends. Private schools are so expensive, and I think there's some really good – it depends where you are, honestly. But if you can find a good public school, I think that's the – I mean, there's public schools that are as good, if not better, than private schools. Obviously, you're – some private schools are super nice, but yeah, if I could do public and find a good public school, I'd definitely do that.
Yeah. Finding a good school can be tough, but I remember growing up, like, that where I lived, my parents did put me in a good public school, and they did, like, a lot of research when they were moving to make sure that I could go to a decent school, and my siblings. And I would, like, talk to you and my other friends that went to private schools, and, like, the schools seemed very similar. Like, we would talk about, like, what was going on, and I was like, this sounds like pretty much the same thing with, like, a few, like, subtle differences. And the cost of private school is so high that it didn't seem worth it in that situation. But I could see in other situations, maybe you live in the city and you have a really good job, so you want to put your kids into a better school. Maybe there's not a good school system, but you need to live somewhere for your job, whatever. I could see a situation, but I think for the most part, it doesn't really seem worth it.
Well, you say that, but I mean, I'm not sure if you're going to keep the Freaky Friday bit we had or not. But I mean, you look at where I am and you look at where you are, and it's hard to pinpoint the factors, but one definitely is I went to private school and you went to public school.
Uh-huh.
And it's just crazy to see how different we are only 8 years out of high school, give or take.
Sure. And even expanding on that, you went to a private college, which is kind of – it's a funny thing to call a college private because it's not like they're public. In any case, you went to a private college and then a big university.
Ivy League.
Yeah, well, not quite Ivy League. You know, sure, University granted. Of Alabama, sure, it's a big school.
But it was credited.
It was credited. I actually went to an unaccredited school my one of my years of college. Did get credited later, okay? They're in the process. It was new. It was a whole shebang. They got it credited, okay?
It was a startup.
It was a startup. I think it actually was. Anyways, yeah, and then here we are. Apples to bananas, as they say.
Apples to bananas. And it's so cool to see how we both started humble beginnings, and now, you know, we're completely different trees, if you will, producing different fruit.
Yeah. And I probably spent, you know, $500,000 less on my education.
Wow.
And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, at least I have that 500 grand in my pocket now as just spending money.
Yeah, but so I don't know. Call me old-fashioned. I just like investing in myself, you know? And I'm okay with, you know, paying a pretty penny to get that education that just betters me. And sure, you know,
kudos for
being frugal and – huh?
Did you pay for it when you know, you moved schools in the third grade? Did you start paying for that private school, that 40K tuition?
I mean, indirectly, right?
You paid – sorry, what do you mean by that?
I mean, maybe it wasn't me directly paying for it, but I indirectly did.
Like you by going, took out a loan, you paid your parents back later once that education paid off?
Like I was the kind of the middleman there. My parents would say, hey, here's the money. Make sure it gets to the right place. I'd say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Sure, I took off some off the top, you know, just for my fees and such. But it's just because they weren't giving me enough allowance.
Okay, so you're doing the opposite of paying for it. You were actually stealing from your parents. You're skimming a little off the top. I see. Well, I'm glad the
and I learned that at
private school. Okay, so it paid off for you.
Yeah, business entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur at a young age. Anyways, next question.
Yeah, I was trying to seamlessly. You have one.
I'm sick of paying for everyone else's kids to go to school. Why can't people without children pay smaller amounts of school tax than people with children? So this guy just sees a, you know, young Sally skipping on the playground, and he just gets pissed at the thought of paying all this tax for her to have a good third grade school teacher and go to recess and have a great time. He's single, okay, and he's kind of a curmudgeon, if you will.
Sure.
And he's wondering why he has to, you know, penny up an extra 8-9%. I don't know, but he's paying a pretty penny for this, and he's wondering, hey, I don't have any kids. Frankly, I despise them. What's the big wuss?
Yeah. Well, I think you're contributing to a more intelligent society, which, you know, you won't see in the short term, but in the long term, maybe you'll have better inventions. You know, your wheelchair is going to be electric instead of manual, because some Sally got to go to, you know, school, and then she got influenced to go to college, yada, yada. And she was able to create that electric wheelchair for you that you now ride in.
Sally went to public school? What if she went to public school? She just, you know, went through all that free stuff and she really didn't learn anything.
Yeah, sure, that's going to happen. But it's about the society. It's about as a whole. It's the same as, like, you know, it's paying for roads. Maybe it pays for a road that you don't even drive on. But we can't get down to the nitty gritty like that necessarily. We just have to contribute, okay? Be kind to your fellow man.
That's what this guy wants to pay for the roads that he's driving on, and he doesn't see a point of paying for roads that Sally wants to drive on in 10 years. He's not even going to be here. He plans to hit Bermuda with his fourth wife.
Okay. So you're suggesting toll roads.
I'm just trying to get this guy, you know, satisfied while he's in the States for the next couple years, and then he's going to hightail it out of here, maybe even sooner if he's having to pay for all these children to go to school. I'm trying to get him to stay.
I would rather he go to Bermuda at this point. That's a good point.
The triangle?
I like where you're going with this, because if he doesn't want to pay taxes, he could just leave. Or if he wants to be more of a leech, what he can do is not pay taxes, get sent to jail, and then get supported through taxes. And that way, he'll kind of get his money back.
So this guy doesn't want to be a leech, though. He just doesn't want to pay. He feels like he's getting leeched too much. Okay, this guy, he sounds pretty smart based on his question. Okay, he sounds like maybe he's a successful business owner. Maybe he went to private school. And he's just wondering, he's looking at his pay stubs here, and he's getting, you know, 25, 26, 27% taken out of it. He's wondering, oh, what's this money going towards? He looks it up, does some research, and he finds out. He's paying for all these schools. He's paying for roads made in Nevada. He never plans to go to Nevada. He just wants to stay in his little hometown. And he's wondering, look, I just want to pay for the roads I go to. Okay? And frankly, he has a truck, four-wheel drive. He likes taking back roads. He likes going off-roading. So really, he doesn't even need roads.
He's biting the hand that feeds him. And that hand happens to be little Sally.
So little Sally's feeding him, and he's biting her
with
hand.
Remember the analogy I had with the wheelchair? She's making the wheelchair for him, and
he's biting her for making the wheelchair.
Yeah, he's saying, I don't want to send kids to school.
Well, it sounds like he's got rabies.
I don't think I'd want to live in a country that didn't provide public education. So maybe he should think about that.
Okay, so what do you recommend for him? If he wants to go to a place where he doesn't pay for public education, what's a good
That's basically my whole advice, is just to think about that. Because I think if he thinks about it, he'll decide that he's wrong and that he's an idiot for thinking the way that he is.
And that's pretty bold of you to say, considering you went to public and this guy probably went to private school.
Why do you think this guy went to private school? Because he doesn't want to pay
just
for schools.
Based on his question. Yeah. Yeah, he sounds like he's pretty wise with money.
Self-centered,
he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Self-important,
yep. Got some good values, good morals. Probably a runner, just based on some of the grammar that he uses.
Did you write this?
And it's anonymous, and I think this guy wants it to stay anonymous.
So what's your advice for him?
My advice would be, buck the system, okay? Buck against the system. Actually, I heard one of my friends said you can live in the States and kind of start your own country within the States, like declare independence from the States somehow, but still live in the States. I forgot what it was exactly called. You can do that, okay? You can start your own colony.
Was that your friend JP?
Yeah, this was my friend JP.
He's the guy that comes up with a lot of conspiracy theories. He doesn't wear deodorant. That one.
He also went to private school.
This is all this is coming full circle.
Yeah, and so he's telling me about this idea.
Sounds like tax evasion. It sounds honestly, like textbook tax evasion is what he's recommending to you.
Well, honestly, you're saving 20% doing that right out of the rip.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, you're like your own country or your own. I don't know exactly what it was, but
that's definitely tax evasion. Yeah, I can tell you right now.
Actually, a couple of my friends were thinking about this. They also went to my private school.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, they were thinking about this. And then JP was talking about starting a compound, us all moving on it.
Oh, he did tell me about the compound. Yeah.
Yeah. Living off the grid.
Okay.
Sounds pretty cool.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like I don't know what the requirements are going to be. For your sake, I hope it's not education, but.
I did go to college. I graduated with a bachelor's. So.
Unaccredited.
I graduated from an accredited university with a 4-year degree, computer engineering.
So you claim. So. Yeah.
You want me to pull out I have a diploma. It's hanging in my bathroom.
That can be photoshopped.
I wouldn't know how to do that, but you could like look it up with the school, Middle Tennessee
State. AI.
The school is AI? You could visit the grounds if you wanted to.
Yep.
Talk to the dean or board of administrators, whatever you need to do.
I'm just not buying it anymore. But I hope for your sake you can convince JP, because he's going to be the headmaster of this compound. So
I'm starting to think I don't want to be a part of this compound.
Look, I'm in your corner. Okay, I have your back. You don't have to convince me.
You
I'm
just said that you're on. Not buying it. It sounds like I do have to convince you. Welcome to Bright Side. Everybody, this is Bright Side of the podcast. We're talking about the bright side of our weeks. Connor, you're looking chipper today, huh? You got your run in. You're feeling good. You know, I said I wanted to go for a run, and you said, you know what? My schedule's more important than yours. We're going to shoot the podcast right now. So my legs are barking, right? I'm ready to go. The sun's going down. I'm running out of time here. How was your week?
It was good. I had something I wanted to say there. I forgot. It was a good week, okay? Went on a couple runs. Darn it. What was I going to say? Poopy pants.
Something about
I'm
running?
I'm just getting old.
Or timing? Or scheduling?
Or barking?
Trying to throw you a bone here.
I just got back from a run. It was good. Good weekend. Really good weekend this past weekend. Prestonian came in town for a little business meeting. We talked about our lack of green we're seeing in our accounts and that we've kind of noticed a pattern. But we also had fun, okay? We need time to just kind of relax, recoup, recharge. And so we did that this weekend. And Ashley was here too, so we went on a group run. That was fun. And then Prestonian took off at a 4.5-minute pace to the end. And he was really surprised me at his speed. Such a young running career, and yet he just has such valor.
I wanted to take your soul.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You didn't see bare face, though, I'll be honest. We went on like a 5-mile run. I think the last 3/4 of a mile, maybe last 1/2 mile, I decided to just pick up the pace. I was feeling pretty good for some reason. And so I just kept picking up the pace more and more until the finish line. I don't know what our actual split was there at the end, but it was getting pretty quick. You know, I got done. It was like I sprinted at the end. And I was, you know, heaving. You know, that was a heavy run. And Connor, you know, he seemed surprised that I did it, but he didn't seem like he was wheezing. Let's put it that way. He just walked inside. I was breathing heavy. And, you know, we started talking to the people that were inside. And he just, you know, had a very relaxed tone about him. And I was over there kind of catching my breath, sweating profusely. You know, I was dripping on the floor. And it made it look like Connor didn't even go for a run at that point, which was weird because we were just sprinting. So I don't know how he pulled that one off.
It was a magic trick. It was a good time. We were talking, and then we started Preston started getting a little quiet. So I thought, oh, he's in the pain cave right now. And he started picking up the pace a little bit, and he got a kind of little serious glaze in his eyes, and I saw he meant business. And then the pace incrementally got faster and faster. We started at like probably 9.5 to 10 minute miles we were doing, which is a nice pace. And then we got to like 6.5 minute pace at the end. And so, yeah, that was a pretty good little finish there.
That was a good time. That was a good time.
And we played Mysterium. We played Mysterium definitely hours of that board game.
Far
that board
too many,
game.
Far too many times.
That was a ton of fun. And it's hard being the ghost in that game. And you're kind of frustrated when you're not the ghost and you're getting these clues and you're like, what the heck's going on? like, this is stupid. And then you're the ghost and you realize, okay, now I understand. Now I understand what was going on here. But we played a lot of that. Hung out, nice chill weekend. Custodian took my car for a joyride and he tested the limits. Okay. I popped the hood with him. Bad mistake. He saw it was a V12, 560 horsepower to this nice new Honda Accord.
Yeah.
And somehow he found the sport mode. Lickety split. I didn't know it had sport mode. He found it and he tested it, baby. Pedal to the metal. I wanted him to kind of take it to a joyride, like a nice 20, 30 miles per hour through the neighborhood. And he hightailed it out of there 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds.
Yeah, the sport mode is just right there below the drive, if you ever want to use that. Took that car. The handling's nice. The brakes are nice. Has a little bit of acceleration to it. It was fun. Yeah, it was a good weekend. That Mysterium game, it's like it's a co-op board game that we played. The ghost can't talk, and they're like trying to help everybody out with giving them abstract photos of what they're trying to lead them towards certain photos. So that game was a lot of fun. We played that a lot. And then running was
good. Is it kind of like co-op Clue?
Yeah. That's a good description. Co-op Clue.
Nice. What was the highlight of your weekend?
Highlight of my week. Thank you very much.
Week.
Had nothing to do with the weekend. Frankly, I was happy to get out of there. You know, I told them I have somewhere to be at 7 o'clock. That was a straight up lie. I had nothing going on.
Trying to pull an old Irish goodbye there.
I did. I actually did try to pull an Irish goodbye. I don't know why. I guess there's just a lot of people, and I was like, this would kind of be funny if I just left, because I said I would be right back, and I had already had all my things in my car, and so I went inside and I was like, I could just leave right now. They'd probably think that's pretty funny. And I went to go leave, and there was a car behind me, so I had to go back in and say, hey, can somebody move their car? I tried to Irish goodbye and I couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that's kind of awkward.
Yeah, so I think that was probably my highlight.
The failed Irish goodbye.
The failed Irish goodbye. Yeah. I think that's my highlight.
Good times. Yeah, it was nice going on a run. Running with you, that was cool. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, duo or trio running is definitely different from the solos I've been doing. Speaking of solos, I'm gonna go hit a solo right now. The sun's going down behind me, as you can see. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another episode. I wasn't asking you. This comes out Wednesday, just like they come out every Wednesday.
Peace, guys.
Deuces.